there's nothing like the celebration that happens in the house of God. There's no greater celebration than to come into the house of God and know exactly why we celebrate who Jesus is. I just want to take a few minutes and just kind of just, I feel like what I'm just going to share is just simply going to be a segue into just maybe just getting this place turned up just a little bit. I used some young folk terminology there when I said, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. For those that don't understand, young people today, they're using this phrase, turn up. That's a phrase that means when things are going really good, we just gonna keep it going. So I took the phrase back, applied it to the house of God. We just gonna turn things up here in the house of God. Glory to God. Just one of those nights again. It's just hard for me to be over there in that seat over there. My Lord. But I just really, real quick, just to encourage you. And for those that might be just sitting here saying, man, it's just, I see all of this. And there's a lot of excitement. But it's just, I'm not sure if I'm really grabbing it or understanding. We don't want anybody to miss this wonderful picture, this wonderful celebration. Because here in the house of God, we don't want anybody to miss out. We don't want anybody to slip out still not able to understand the beauty of the good news and the reason why we celebrate Jesus and the reason why we dance and we jump and we shout. Although it might have been a difficult year, though things might have gone in a life that says, man, I don't know where they got the energy to dance, but it's been a long year. My brothers and sisters, it's okay. It's been a long year for us too. But we know where our strength comes, and the grace of God has allowed us to get here today. And I just want to read you this scripture here in Luke chapter 14. You don't have to turn to it. Just everybody just listen. And this is Jesus telling this story. I mean, when he walked on the earth, he was the greatest storyteller. The greatest storyteller of all time. And everything that came out of his mouth and everything that he said, it was intentional on doing the will of the Father in heaven who loved you and I so much that everything that Jesus did, everything that he said was for the purpose that you and I might know the Father's love. And so Jesus comes to this place in Luke chapter 14, and he's hanging out with these religious people. He's hanging out at their home. It's this big celebration that seems to be. And he's hanging out with them, and he sees them in their seats, and they're reclining, and their rank and their position and all their food and their layout. And Jesus loved to hang out with people that thought that they had it all together but really didn't. And he's sitting there amongst these people, and they're coming to a place in the conversation where they recognize and see that the kingdom of God is at hand. They see it. They have some mild sense of recognition that God loves them. But Jesus here brings this picture through a story that really just sums up why we're celebrating tonight. And scripture says in Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16, but he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there's room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you I thank you for the good news that you bring to us, God, through your word. I thank you, Jesus, for the celebration that we're having right here tonight because of your love, because of your grace. And I pray that you would open the hearts of your children to receive, Lord God, the fullness of this gospel, the good news. God, I pray. I need your strength. But I can't do this without you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. God, have your way and your way alone. In your name I pray, amen. Praise God. The title of just this short message to you tonight is Everyone's Invited. Everyone's invited. Jesus has this wonderful moment where he presents the good news, the gospel. And the gospel is found here in this portion of scripture where he tells a story about a great banquet, a great feast. Everybody likes a great feast. Some of us over the past couple of weekends, we've been feasting. I like a great feast. You know, one of my Elder John, I love to be in conversations with my brother Elder John. He and I have the best conversations about feasts and food. I mean, he was just rattling off the list of everything that was on the table for this Christmas. And it just sounded good. I asked him if there were leftovers. He said it was gone in 3 days. But that excites us. You know, to be able to have a feast and a great banquet. Well, I want you to know that we've all been invited to the Father's banquet. And there's no greater banquet, there's no greater feast than the one that we receive from our Heavenly Father. It's a powerful feast. Now, you got to understand, like, the full context of this moment, right? As these men were sitting around Jesus, they are really a reflection of many of us today who we have a sense of recognizing God's love. We want to know, but we haven't fully embraced the invitation. You know, in the Old Testament, the Israelites would get, when there was a feast or a banquet, they would get one invitation. This first invitation would go out and say, there's a great banquet. There's a feast that's happening. And then there was always a second invitation. And the second invitation would state, the feast is now ready. And then on the second invitation, that's when you and I, we have to RSVP. Now, Jesus, as he's telling this story, he comes to a place where he's describing the second invitation. You know, at this point, the men that were around him, the people that were around him, they had already received the first invitation through just Moses and the prophets of the Old Testament. They'd made it clear, and they had, to some extent, received that God was calling on them. But here's this moment that scripture reveals to us that although they didn't refuse the invitation, we as a people tend to not respond to the invitation. And we'll find ourselves coming into church, and this is really good, and this is so exciting. But yet, have we really responded and received the second invitation? And the second invitation is really summed up in this story where Jesus says there was a master. He puts together this big feast, this great banquet, and he sends his servant out to go tell everyone, here is the second invitation. It's now ready. And that master of the house represents God, the Father. And the servant represents the Most High servant, Jesus himself. The servant represents the master's son. The servant actually represents Jesus himself, who's telling the story to us right now. And Jesus tells the story that the master says, go, invite them. And when he goes to invite them, the first group of people that he comes to says, oh, if you would just please excuse me, I've bought a piece of property and I need to go just look at my land. And then the other guy goes, well, I bought some cows. I bought some oxen and I just need to examine them. I need to test them out. You know, here are these folks making excuses not to come to the greatest banquet. And even today, we make excuses not to surrender and receive the invitation. We make excuses and our priorities, our top priorities, become the very things that we feel like are the investment that's important to us. And it's those things that are material, that are tangible, that we celebrate, that we cling to, that we hold on to. And rather than coming in and sitting down at the feast, which is Jesus, which is the good news of his grace and mercy, which is his unconditional love, we're consumed with the very things that we think will sustain us. And those things take on a form of idolatry, in a sense. Our jobs become the very things that we worship. Our homes, even our cars, become the very things that we worship, and they become the things that we ask, please God, excuse me, because I need to focus on these things. But those things are not going to set your spirit free. Those things are not going to give you a hope. Those things are not going to bring a cleansing to your soul. Those things are not going to find you freedom day in and day out. And then the third person says, I can't come. I'm married. I imagine Jesus being able to just simply reflect on just the bigger picture and how we're just so frail in our thinking, trying to make excuses when we say we cannot, but really we just won't. I mean, you know, here's this moment that for me, I'm reminded of when Jesus, God came into the Garden of Eden in the beginning of times. And when it was a moment for Adam to confess his sin, he blamed it on the woman. And now here's this story that God brings where here's your chance to receive forgiveness and sit at the banquet table with God. He's still trying to blame it on the woman. Brothers and sisters, everyone's invited. Just bring your wife. But you know what? But isn't it amazing how we'll let relationships get in the way of the invitation we have to find relationship with the God who loves us unconditionally? You find us latched on and hooked and connected to relationships that are, you know out there, they're a hindrance. And they're holding you back, and that relationship has kept you in bondage. But I want you to know, everyone's invited. And Jesus goes on here. He comes to this moment where the servant came and he reported these things to the master. And then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets. For me, I look at this moment where when Jesus, who was oftentimes just would go away, I reflect on the moment as scripture reveals to us that in his ministry, he would go away and he would talk to his daddy. And I'm sure he'd give report of how you and I would react to the good news of his love and his kindness. And Jesus gives a report, and the anger of God has a different reaction than I would naturally think, you know? But it represents what the gospel's all about. God did not send his son to condemn the world, but to save us from our sin, to set us free. Wow, the fact that we would reject the invitation that God offers to us to come and sit at his table, that in his anger, his pursuit of us would increase. And there would be a greater urgency that would come from God to reach out and reach us. I'm humbled by that. I mean, for most of us, right? If we send out some invitations to a banquet or a party, and then the day shows up and nobody shows up, we're mad. Matter of fact, we wipe off some people on our Facebook list. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I mean, the slightest thing, if they don't show up for, we were supposed to have coffee, we were supposed to have breakfast, and then there's a no-show. I mean, we're wiping them off Twitter, we're wiping them off Facebook, we don't call them. We're quick to get offended. But in God's response, in his offense, he just extends his arms even further. Wow. He extends his arms even further, and he tells his servant, he tells Jesus, well, then go even further. Go into the streets and into the back lanes. Go get the poor. the poor, not just speaking about those that are in need for food or material things. And yes, God will meet those things, but he's also speaking about the poor in spirit. Those that have just kind of just, they have just dwindled and collapsed spiritually and emotionally. He said, go get those. Go get the lame, the crippled, the ones that are struggling to just get through and just make it. And you feel overwhelmed and you're fighting depression and you're overwhelmed by just struggling with suicidal thoughts. And you're going through all of these emotional, just tormented things. Jesus is out and he's searching for you and I. Go get the blind, he said. Go get them. They have no idea where they're going. They're so confused. They're lost. No one's helped them. They feel abandoned. They feel useless. Go grab them. Bring them. I love that. I don't have to worry about the directions to get to God's banquet table. The Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ has come to get us. He's come to get us. Listen, this is so important for you to understand. You got to understand, and I look back at these people that were making excuses and focusing on what it's cost them to take care of the things that they have, these tangible things, these materialistic things. But let's stop and let's look at the cost for this banquet, this great feast. It costs something. Not for you and I. No, we don't have to pay anything. It was covered. The price was paid for you and I to show up and respond to this invitation, this great banquet. There was a big plan that went forth so you and I could come and be reconciled back to the Father, and we could take our rightful seat at the feast. Oh, there was a plan that went forth. It started in heaven when God released his only begotten Son, Jesus. Released him to come down on earth and take on flesh. Man, I just sometimes I'm blown away by that sudden just transition that happened with God. I mean, here God is in all of his glory and all of his power. For me, I do a lot of like theatrical stuff and I love writing scripts. So sometimes things play out like a script in my mind. But I imagine God in this moment, you know, before his Son coming down and taking on the form of a baby. But God going, man, they're rebellious. They turn against anything that I offer them. They've rejected my will. They've rejected my love. They deserve to die. And I love them so much. And I can imagine Jesus standing with his Father and simply saying, I'll go get them. I'll go get them. Because you love them, I love them. And my life is to serve you, Daddy, to do your will. So I'm going to go. I'm going to take on flesh, and I'm going to live amongst them. I'm going to reach out, and I'm going to touch the lame and the weak and the hurting, and I'm going to corral them in. I'm going to call them in. I'm going to go. And Scripture says that Jesus in this story, he says this. He speaks, you know, to his Father, and he says, I've done it. I've done it. I've gone out to go get them. And God's like, go get more of them. I want this place filled. Everyone's invited. I don't want anybody to miss this. I mean, we did a lot to make this happen. We did a lot. It was a major sacrifice. His Son, Jesus Christ, sacrificed his life on the cross so that you and I could come to the banquet free. What was due, the debt, it was paid through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. We couldn't afford it anyway if it was up to us to get to this banquet. So Jesus covered the cost. Jesus came to the cross and died. They put the nails in his hands, the nails in his feet. He lived his whole life on the earth just to cover the debt so that you and I could respond to the invitation and be reconciled and restored back to the Father. Hallelujah. And so this is why we celebrate. Because he took our sin debt. He went to the cross, and only Jesus. Only Jesus, 100% man in the flesh, but 100% God. Only Jesus. Only Jesus could die on that cross. And only Jesus could rise and come alive again on that third day. Only Jesus could come alive in his resurrection power. And the very power that brought Jesus Christ to life is now the very power that's offered to you and I, that we might make our way to the banquet. It's in the strength of Jesus Christ. I close with this. God, he said, quickly go get them. There's an urgency that God the Father in heaven has for you and I in our lives. It's an urgency. If there's anybody that understands the urgency and the pace and the aggression that God is offering unto us to come, it's New Yorkers. Nobody walks up and down the streets as fast as us. We should understand this quick step. We'd be walking up the street for no reason. It's Saturday. Everybody's off work. We're still flying up and down Broadway. There's an urgency. There's this urgency that God has. We've heard it from our pastor. But we're in the last days. This is why we celebrate and sing that song about heaven. Because we know it's getting closer. And we know it's getting closer. So if we know that Jesus is telling this story 2,000 years ago and telling a story about how the master said, quickly go out and get them. Quickly, quickly, quickly go out and get them. Everyone's invited. He said, you got the poor, the lame, the blind, the crippled. Good. Go out into the highways. Yes, the ones that are trying to take a long journey, the ones that are just trying to run away. Show them how far my arms can stretch and there's no way that they can get away. Go get them. Go get them. They're way down the highway. They think that they can run, but you can't run from the love of God. You can't run. He wants you to be at the banquet table so bad. He said, go. The highways and the hedges. The hedges represent those walls, those things that separate us from really receiving and responding to this gospel. There's walls. There's walls that you and I have put up in our lives. There's these walls of bitterness and walls of loneliness, walls of anger, walls of rejection, walls of humiliation and embarrassment because you've been touched and abused for way too long. And you've built walls up thinking that nobody can touch your heart. But the master said to the servant, Jesus, I know you can penetrate every single wall. You can press through and you can penetrate. He's the only real superhero there is. I want you to know that. See, he's the only one that can break through walls. The only one that can penetrate every single place that we've tried to protect. No, don't touch me here. This place is still wounded. Man, reveal the wounds and allow Jesus to bring healing. Allow him to grab hold of you and bring you to the banquet, the great banquet. Because at this banquet, you're going to find the mercy of God. You're going to find the love of God. You're going to find healing for your life. That's what we're feasting on. That's what we're eating. David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that finds refuge in him. When you come to the banquet table of your Father, there's refuge. And you will taste and see that his mercy and his grace is sufficient. You'll taste and see that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, he paid it all. It's done. Now, RSVP. Now, no more excuses. No more excuses. You come to the banquet table. Music ministry, worship team, could you help me? No more excuses. Let's come to the banquet table. I've just been really dwelling on this, and just in my personal life, you know, because kind of in this week for me, right? These are these days where you kind of reflect on the year and you look back. And it's interesting how we naturally conclude with the idea like, oh, okay, next year is just going to be so much better. I just know it, you know. And I found myself doing that like, okay, all right, God, it's just going to be so much better. No, The better is the now in Jesus Christ. It's better than now. This is why we celebrate now. This is why I came up here and I had to go back and sit down. Because we're celebrating now. At this very moment, we celebrate Jesus because when we come to his table, man, there's a feast. And when you talk about the love of Jesus and the mercy of Jesus, it's buffet style. Like, no, really. It never runs out. The love of God never runs out. Why would I go to any other party in New York City? Everyone's invited to this feast. Don't miss this great banquet. Some of you may have been coming here from time to time. You just come, you know, because you see and it's a good feel. And you've been in this place where maybe you haven't refused the invitation, but you haven't responded to the invitation. Respond. Surrender your life to Jesus. Take your rightful place back at the feast. There's plenty of room. You come just as you are. Your mess? Oh, I don't know. I can't play the part. There's no part for you to play. Jesus already fulfilled the role on the cross. Don't make excuses. This is what we're going to do. We're going to worship again. And the body of Christ, we're going to stand and we're going to pray for our brothers. Let's just stand up. And I want to make, listen, as you're standing, I'm making an altar call right now. No excuses. If tonight you know that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and if tonight you know that you've removed yourself from the great banquet that's offered to you, I want you to respond to this invitation right now. Don't make any excuses. Whatever you got to do outside these walls, just give it a little bit of time. But right now, no excuses. Grab your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, before they try to tell you, let's go. Make no excuses. And you come right here. Let's just make this a place right now. Let's give some folks front row at the banquet table tonight. Front row. If you're in the balcony, come on down. You get front row tonight. Here, tonight, front row. And let's celebrate Jesus with our brothers and sisters. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's no safer place than to be at the banquet table with the Father. And when we come to that place, we're reconciled unto him. It's not like it, we just come and then just leave. We're restored through Jesus Christ. Restored. And we're adopted. We're adopted back into the kingdom of God. And he calls us his own, his children. Could we all just pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the invitation through your Son, Jesus Christ. I confess I need a Savior. And I believe that you, Jesus, died on the cross for my sin. I repent of my rebellion. And I welcome you, Lord Jesus, into my life. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. I receive the invitation. I now take my place at at the great banquet. I'm a new creature. Thank you for restoring me. I call you Father. And you call me your own. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
It is a truly an amazing thing when you do come to Jesus Christ. I remember when I first found what you're finding tonight, I opened the Bible and I would sit in my car because I was a patrolman at the time, a police officer, and I would stop and I would read and I would cry and I would cry and I would cry as the Word of God. And I wasn't much of a reader, but I began to read the Bible, and it was a feast of right thinking, of healing, of something happening in my heart that I couldn't explain it. It was something God was doing. And you begin to realize this is a supernatural banquet. These words have the power to create that God left us in the textbook that we have called the Bible. And as I began to believe these words, they began to create new life inside of my heart, new thoughts in my mind, new desires that I never had before, new abilities that were not mine before. And I began to realize that this is real. This is a real God. This is really His Word. And if I open my heart to Him, He will truly transform my life. Not only take me to heaven when I die, that's the ultimate promise, but He'll give me a reason to live while I live. And I thank God for this banquet feast. It has been an awesome, awesome journey that you're about to undertake now and begin. Don't turn back. Don't let any of the former lies stop you from doing what God is calling you to do and from taking you where God's calling you to go. You will never regret this. This is an incredible journey, and it will be the beginning of eternity with God for you. You'll find out how deeply He loves you, how much He has touched with our struggles. And I thank God for that.